It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Verse 13. You, my brothers, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Although Paul writes not to individuals but to a church community, urging us to love and serve one another, I am about to share a testimony. Given that this is an all-age talk, I felt it was appropriate to use an analogy, which one cannot fully compare with my own situation, but I do hope it will paint you the picture of the lifestyle I have turned my back on, thanks to the Lord. May I just reiterate that I'm not here to condemn anyone for the lifestyle or choices that they have made. This is a story about a turning point, a moment of decision. This year marked the 10-year anniversary since I committed my life to Christ. A moment of decision, a decision of a lifetime. Although this was a very big step for me at the time, and the best one I've ever made, it is not the story of "and she lived happily ever after." No, my challenge continued years after I had committed my life to Christ. It is summed up in verses 17. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. Talking about the flesh, let me give you this analogy. Any chocolate lovers out here? Great. So if you're not a chocolate lover, please do think of something else that you really, really enjoy, whether it's something savory, or maybe it might be a specific cake or a specific dish. Now, all these chocolate lovers out here, have you ever experienced that temptation? I'm just going to have one piece on chocolate. And lo and behold, before you know it, you have actually eaten the whole bar. Yeah, you can emphasize with it. It's terrific. Even if it meant having to go back and forth to the cupboard or the kitchen, wherever you're keeping your sweets, And or am I the only one who doesn't seem to have any self-control when it comes down to chocolate? Oh, great. I'm the only one, Simon, yes. So you might be thinking, how does this story link, this analogy link to my own story? Well, for many years, I tried to live life on my own terms. Even as a Christian, I relied on my own wisdom, probably even on my own theology, which led me to make wrong choices along the way. I knew what the Bible said, and it all made perfect sense. And it made sense up here, but I wasn't willing to be led by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? It involves a desire to hear. It means to be ready to obey God's word and the sensitivity to discern between one's feelings and his promptings. Did I want to do this? Was it convenient for me? Absolutely not. So what happened? The Holy Spirit intervened. Trust me, it wasn't a big revelation or that the skies all of a sudden opened. No, it was a gentle nudge, a chipping away. The desire to have joy, peace, and self-control in my life. The more I started listening to him, the more I was able to obey God's word. Did it happen overnight? No, it didn't. It was a journey. Sometimes I felt like I was being pulled into two directions, live by the Spirit or live by the flesh. There were crossroads along the way. At times I took the wrong turning, but the wrong turnings became less and less in that particular situation. While living a life of the flesh, I had no idea on how much I was missing out on. Only by listening to him, but also by obeying God's word, have I not only been set free of my temptation, but I have also been blessed with some fruit of the Spirit, such as love, joy, and peace, as listed in verses 22. God has been so faithful. Now, as I said earlier, Paul writes not to individuals, but to a church community, urging us to love and serve one another. My own experience has enabled me to love and serve those who have been through similar temptations. We as a church family are blessed with the fruits of the Spirit, which, as listed in verse 22, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I call it, it's a fruit of the Spirit smoothie, which is a blend of everyone. We need to work on all of them within our community to be a fruitful church. What is the fruit of the Spirit that you wish to grow in?